Thank you and good morning. It is hard to think beyond our culture. There are certain things in our culture we assume are true, and consequently, it is hard for us to critically think about them. It is easy for us just to go along with what our culture has taught us. But you see, Jesus calls upon us to think critically about what our culture says is true. There is the thinking of our culture, but then we have the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many cases, the thinking of our Lord goes counter to that of our culture. And so, the Christian must practice counter-cultural thinking. To critically think about what our culture says is true is what we mean by counter-cultural thinking. It is to reconsider the, quote, truths that our culture has taught us and critically consider them. Is this true? Is that right? Well, on our program today, we want to talk about the importance of countercultural thinking and how we can accomplish it. In the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus challenged his disciples to think about things in a different way. In chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is saying to his disciples, your thinking will need to rise to a different level than that of the scribes and Pharisees if you are to enter the kingdom of heaven. He presents to them ideas that go counter to the way they had been taught, or we might say that goes counter to the way their culture taught them. Over and over again in this chapter, Jesus says to them, "You have heard that it was said." And then he would say, "But I say to you." The first was what they had been taught, the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees. And then he tells them how they should think. For example, in verses 44 and 45, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." You see, Jesus is calling upon them to think and act differently than the way they had been taught. Also in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. In verses 14 through 17, he says, "I have given them," that is the apostles, "your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." What Jesus desired of his apostles here is what he desires of all his disciples, and that is to live in the world, but not to be of the world. That is, not to think and act as the world thinks and acts. He wants his disciples to be sanctified, meaning to be set apart from the world, dedicated to God. Well, how is that to be accomplished? Well, notice Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." As we become saturated in the thinking of God through his word and apply it to our lives rather than being influenced by the thinking of the world, we are then sanctified, set apart from the world to serve God acceptably. And so Jesus is calling upon us to practice counter-cultural thinking. He wants us to think and act differently than those of the world. Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Thinking and acting differently than the world around us is not always easy. It is hard to think counter to our culture, but it must be done in order to enter the kingdom of heaven and please the Lord. Well, how does countercultural thinking come about? Well, we must get our mind straight. Look with me back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Look at verses 22 and 23. Jesus is speaking and he says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now notice Jesus says, if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. The word good in this verse is translated single in the King James Version and also in the American Standard Version. W.E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary of Bible Words, defines the Greek word as, and I quote, simple, single, is used in a moral sense in Matthew 6:22 and Luke 11, verse 34, said of the eye, singleness of purpose keeps us from the snare of having a double treasure and consequently a divided heart, end of quote. Notice, it is a good eye, that is a healthy, clear eye, if it is singly focused, if it is singly focused on the Lord. If our eye is singly focused on the Lord, then our eye is good and our body is full of light. Jesus is saying we need to make up our minds about our focus in life. The problem with many of us is that we're trying to serve the Lord and please the world at the same time. But we can't do that. Notice he says in the very next verse, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It is impossible to serve two masters. It is impossible to serve the Lord and try to please the world around us at the same time. If we're ever going to think counter to our culture, it will be because we have set our mind singly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to focus our minds singly on Jesus? How do we do that? Well, it means that we believe that He is Lord and King, and we make Him the Lord of our lives. You know, Jesus is a king, John 18, verses 36 and 37. He has a kingdom, Colossians 1, verse 13. Our culture does not understand what it means to be subject to a king. You know, we live in a democracy where the majority rules. In a democracy, different ideas are discussed and then voted upon. Even after the vote is completed and the law is finalized, the minority has recourse. They can go through a process to change the law. But the kingdom of Christ is a monarchy where the king is the absolute sovereign. He has all authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus is Lord, Acts 2 and verse 36, meaning He is ruler. You see, to choose Jesus as Lord and King means we choose Him to direct our lives. It doesn't mean that we listen to Him and then take a vote on whether or not we will accept what He says. You see, no one has the right to place judgment on the King's laws. To choose Jesus means we accept His will without question. You see, Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore we know that His laws are right and good. We do not instruct God. He instructs us. Isaiah wrote, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as His counselor has taught Him? With whom did He take counsel? And who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding?" Isaiah 40, verses 13 and 14. God is not one who receives instruction and counsel. He is the one who gives instruction and counsel. Man is not in a position to counsel God. Who do we think we are to place judgment on the words of God? You see, rather than judging the king's law, we should meekly submit to His law. James says in James 1, verses 21 and 22, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." To set our minds singly on the Lord Jesus Christ means that we make Him the Lord of our lives by doing whatever He commands. We no longer try to please the world and King Jesus at the same time. That can't be done. We no longer place judgment on King Jesus' laws. Rather, we just humbly submit without question. This is what it means to choose Jesus. And then and only then will we be able to practice counter-cultural thinking. Then and only then will we be able to overcome the evil influences of our culture and conform to the image of Jesus our Lord and King. But also I want to make this point. No one will focus singly on the Lord Jesus and practice counter-cultural thinking unless he wants to. You will never do anything except what you want to do. People do what they want to do. The only way you're going to be able to singly focus your mind on Jesus is to consciously make that your supreme desire. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. If we are ever to overcome the evil influences of our culture and become like our Lord Jesus Christ, it will be because we truly desire him more than anything else. When we have this desire, there are certain things we will then do. First of all, we will expose ourselves more often to the words of our Lord. Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." To think as Jesus thinks and to live as he lived, we will need to expose ourselves to his life and teachings as they are found in the Bible. We will be reading the Bible regularly. And then secondly, we will avoid exposure as much as we can to the evil influences of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Evil company corrupts good habits." Now, we can't avoid exposure to all evil influences because the Lord wants us to live in the world, and living in the world means we will see evil around us. We can't control what people do at work or at school, etc. But we sure can control what comes into our homes. We can control what TV programs we watch, what movies we see, what books we read, and what music we hear. We can control who will be our close associates and friends. Those who truly desire to overcome the evil influences of the world and become more like Jesus will make good choices in these areas. And then thirdly, we will pray and seek God's help. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." It is important to understand the power of the world's influence on us. However, God has made it possible for us to be like Him if we want to. We can overcome the evil influences of the world if we choose to practice counter-cultural thinking. And we can practice counter-cultural thinking if we will choose to focus our minds on pleasing our King Jesus more than anything else. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address along with the title of the program you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.